మీడియా ది వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా ఇది భారతీయ స్వరం
మైండ్ మీడియా ది వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా భారతీయత మన బాధ్యత ఈ షోకి శ్రోతలందరికీ స్వాగతం సుస్వాగతం. ఒకవేళ శ్రోతలు ఇండియా నుంచి డైల్ చేసేటట్టయితే 9885555672 ఈ నంబర్ కి డైల్ చేసి షో లైవ్ వినొచ్చు. లేదంటే అమెరికా నుంచి డైల్ చేసే వాళ్ళైతే 484-364-3471 ఈ నంబర్ కి డైల్ చేసి మా షోలో పాల్గొనొచ్చు. సో భారతీయత మన బాధ్యత ఈ షోకి స్వాగతం అందరికి. సో ఈ రోజు అంశం పర్టికులర్ గా సిఏఏ ఎన్ఆర్సి దీని పరంగా దేశవ్యాప్తంగా ప్రపంచవ్యాప్తంగా కూడా జరుగుతున్న చర్చ గురించి, అలాగే దాని యొక్క ప్రభావము దేశవ్యాప్తంగానే కాకుండా అంతర్జాతీయ వ్యాప్తంగా ఏ విధంగా ఉంది, అమెరికా వంటి పెద్ద దేశాల దగ్గర నుంచి వీటి మీద ఎందుకు అంత శ్రద్ధ చూపిస్తున్నాయి, దీని మీద ఎటువంటి ప్రభావం పడింది అనే విషయం తెలుసుకోవడానికి ఈ రోజు షో చేయబడుతోంది. ముఖ్యంగా సిఏఏ ఎన్ఆర్సి గురించి, దాని చట్టం ఏంటి అనే వివరాలు చాలా మందికి ఇప్పటికీ అర్థమయ్యాయి. చాలా మంది ఒప్పుకున్నారు, చాలా మంది ఇంకా ఒప్పుకున్న వాళ్ళు ఉన్నారు. కానీ ఈ సిఏఏ ఎన్ఆర్సీకి ఇంకేదైనా పెద్ద ఎజెండా ఉందా దీని మీద ఇంత గొడవ చేయడానికి, ఇన్ని ప్రొటెస్ట్ చేయడానికి ఎజెండా ఇంకేదన్నా ఉందా, అంతర్జాతీయంగా ఎందుకు ఇంత దీని మీద వివక్ష చూపిస్తున్నారు భారతదేశం పట్ల అనే విషయం తెలుసుకోవడానికి, పర్టికులర్ గా సియాటిల్ లో దీని గురించి ఒక రిజల్యూషన్, సియాటిల్ సిటీ కౌన్సిల్ వాళ్ళు కూడా ఒక రిజల్యూషన్ పాస్ చేశారు. అంటే సియాటిల్ తరఫు నుంచి ఈ చట్టాన్ని ఖండిస్తున్నామని చెప్పి ప్రకటిస్తూ వాళ్ళు చట్టపరంగా ఒక రిజల్యూషన్ వాళ్ళు జారీ చేయడం అయింది. ఈ విషయం గురించి తెలుసుకోవడానికి, ముఖ్యంగా దీని ప్రభావం భారతదేశం మీద ఉంటుందా, ఎటువంటి ప్రభావం ఉంటుంది, ఇటువంటి క్వశ్చన్స్ మనకు ఆన్సర్ చేయడానికి ఈ రోజు షో జరగడం అయింది. సో దీనిలో ప్రధానంగా పనిచేస్తూ ఈ విషయం మీద అవగాహన ఉన్న వ్యక్తి, రీసెంట్ గా ఈ విషయం మీద సియాటిల్ కౌన్సిల్ లో కూడా అనర్గళంగా మాట్లాడిన వ్యక్తి, వీళ్ళు మనతో పాటు ఉన్నారు. మనతో పాటు ఈ షోకి మనం వెల్కమ్ చేయవలసింది అర్చన సునీల్ అయ్యర్ గారు. సో ఆవిడ గురించి మీరు చాలా మంది ఫేస్బుక్ లో గానీ వాట్సాప్ లో గానీ మీరు షేర్ చేసిన వీడియోస్ చూసి ఉంటారు. ఒక భారతీయ మహిళ ఎంతో ధైర్యంతో సియాటిల్ సిటీ కౌన్సిల్ లో ఉన్న జ్యూరీస్ ఎవరైతే ఉన్నారో, ఆ కౌన్సిల్ మెంబర్స్ ఎవరైతే ఉన్నారో, భారతదేశం యొక్క చట్టాన్ని, వైవిధ్యతని చాటి చెప్పి ధీటైన జవాబు ఇచ్చిందని చెప్పి మన కొంతమంది మెంబర్ ఆఫ్ పార్లమెంట్ తేజస్వి సూర్య గారు కూడా ఆయన ఫేస్బుక్ పోస్ట్ లో మెసేజ్ పెట్టి అభినందించారు ఇండియాలో. సో అటువంటి ఆవిడ ఇప్పుడు ఈరోజు మనతో షోలో జాయిన్ అయ్యారు. సో ఆవిడ కూడా ఒకసారి స్వాగతం చెప్దాము. అర్చనాజీ, వెల్కమ్ టు అవర్ షో. ఐ జస్ట్ హ్యాడ్ ఎ బ్రీఫ్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్. సో యా, ఐ జస్ట్
హ్యాడ్ ఎ బ్రీఫ్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్. సో యా, ఐ జస్ట్ హ్యాడ్ ఎ బ్రీఫ్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్. సో యా, ఐ జస్ట్ హ్యాడ్ ఎ బ్రీఫ్
ఇంట్రొడక్షన్. థ్యాంక్ యూ. సో ఆల్ ఐ told to our some of the Telugu audience, particularly who have been regularly following our show and have been ardent fans of our show and learning a lot of things from our show, so them about gave them a background about like the main agenda of like what is the impact of this CAA law on the India, especially on the international arena, right? So
correct.
Is there a bigger plot besides these protests that's in the international level? That's what our key questions are there.
Sure.
And your excellent speech obviously in Seattle Council when you guys went in first and which actually was applauded by Tejasvi Surya, also honorable member of parliament. We are oceans apart, but still our message reach those persons.
Very true.
So I would probably want you to make a quick introduction, and then probably I'll do my introduction and the Dana Dharma organization that we have been working together for the past 6 years.
Please, yes, go ahead, please. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Thank you. So I think like we have partnered way back in 2014 for, I believe it was for one of the Pushkaras, like I think for Krishna Pushkaras, to do some basic, you know, food, like Annadhanam activity that we wanted to do for during those auspicious months and those days.
Nice.
Yeah, and it started with probably like 20 to 30 people, and it has grown to almost 150 people now, and 80 plus NRI people joining in, you know, donating probably $5, $10, like voluntary donations.
Wow, that's fantastic. Wow.
And
which areas do you specifically serve the Annadhanam in?
Yeah, so we have been doing our activities, particularly one is Annadhanam, and like there is this huge, like some of the Vedic causes, like Vedic schools, that is one of the area we would focus in, and like cow shelters, like goshalas.
Very good.
And also the temples and Gramadevatas. That is, those are two different areas, and I'll come to the Annadhanam part in a bit. But when it comes to temples, not only we take up activities where temples need our help to sustain and maintainability, but we do our like founder Venkat Vutuguri, he has been a tremendous help to this organization being the founder. So particularly the temples in small villages, the Grama Devatas,
right.
Which are our core representation of India and the culture within, right?
Correct.
So they would probably need 30,000 to sustain, which unfortunately no one is willing to do that, because of that we are losing a lot of our folks being probably converted for money or lack of acknowledgement of dharma, and so that is one Grama Devata, and saving those temples has been one of the predominant areas which we worked. And second thing, when it comes to Annadhanam, the one of the best programs that we have worked is feeding pregnant mothers. So this is a unique idea, in the sense you feed one but you're actually feeding two, or you never know, maybe three, So far, it's like 11,000 plus pregnant mothers have been fed within areas of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana.
Wow.
And
that's amazing work. Wow.
Yeah. So and then 2,000 plus kids, and around 12 temples, 8 goshalas, and Veda Pathshalas. And I think most of the credit goes to the donors who have been there with us for 6 years, around like 150, and we have been growing like anything, and with smaller amounts, like 100 rupees, 500 rupees, $10, $5, and we
every
kind of...
Every dollar makes such a difference, right?
Such a difference, and then we have seen that impact on ground level with like probably 10 volunteers who actually go to the place where we work, they gather the information, they evaluate the right cause or not, if there is fraud or not, do their checks and balances. And then we start on that activity, produce a monthly report, or probably like end of the year or end of 6 months, if you see the impact, like how many lakhs of, seva that...
Life you've touched, yes.
That is tremendous, yeah. I wish Venkat...
Very, very inspiring.
Sure, thank you. I wish Venkat could have joined this show. He said like he may or may not be able to make it. So I'm driving this for today. So you have to bear me.
No, I didn't know about your organization, and look at all these lives you're touching. It's very, 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 very inspiring. Thank you.
Sure. Why don't you introduce yourself, even to me? I know like we haven't got time to talk much about you, like what you do, how have you been, So. Please do, and I'll try to translate little bits and pieces of this information to our Telugu audience as well, hopefully, yeah.
Yes. Well, not much really. As you know, my name is Archana Sunil, and for the longest time, for whatever reason, I had taken up the middle name Iyer for my name, but a few years ago, I was like, what the heck, and I put it back in my name. Okay. And I've been in the U.S. since 98 and then up in Seattle since 2008. So I mean, spent exactly half my life here and half my life in Bharat now.
Oh, okay.
And I have two kids. They're 18 and 14. And I became passionate about Bharat's itihasa and our tradition and culture and all that about 5 years ago.
Oh.
So a lot of awakening has happened in me in the last few years. And I'm looking forward to more awakening and more learning and, you know, lots of action.
I think, yes. Awesome. And we are already seeing some part of it. So. Yes.
And I think, you know, the last few years was, you know, kind of like preparation for what's going to happen. That's how I look at it.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's about it. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm a small business owner. I sell health and Medicare insurance here in the state of Washington, and that's what I do for a living.
Awesome. I'll put it short in Telugu to our audience.
So
Archana Sunil Iyer garu. So avida 1998 lo America ki raavadam jarigindi. 2008 లో సియాటిల్ రావడం జరిగింది. అప్పటి నుంచి సియాటిల్లో ఉంటున్నారు. ఇద్దరు పిల్లలు, 14 ఏళ్ళ వయసు, 18 ఏళ్ళ వయసు ఉన్న పిల్లలు. సో ఆవిడ హెల్త్ కేర్ కి సంబంధించిన బిజినెస్ రన్ చేస్తూ ఉంటారు, లైక్ ఇన్సూరెన్స్ సెల్ చేయడం రన్ చేస్తుంటారు సియాటిల్లో. గత 2 ఏళ్ళగా చాలా, గత 5 ఏళ్ళగా ఆవిడకి పర్టికులర్ గా భారతదేశం యొక్క గొప్పతనం గురించి తెలుసుకోవడము, దాని గురించి పనిచేయాలనే ఆశ, కుతూహలం ఉండడము, 2 ఏళ్ళ నుంచి దాని మీద పరిశ్రమ చేయడము, దాని రిజల్ట్ గాని ఇప్పుడు మనం చూస్తున్న అర్చన గారు మాట్లాడడం కానీ, ఆవిడ సీఆర్టీఎల్ కౌన్సిల్ లో మాట్లాడిన విధానం కానీ చూస్తే ఆవిడ గత 5 ఏళ్ళుగా చేస్తున్న పరిశ్రమ ఒక ఫలితం అనుకోవాలి. సో క్లుప్తంగా చెప్పాలంటే ఆవిడ గురించి ఇది ఇప్పుడు చెప్పింది. సో నెక్స్ట్ క్వశ్చన్ కి వెళ్తాను. ఆవిడ్ని బేసిక్ గా అర్చనజీ, ఐ జస్ట్ టెల్ యూ, లైక్ వెన్ ఐ ఫస్ట్ లుక్ ఎట్ యూ అండ్ అదర్ లేడీ పద్మలతాజీ, లైక్ ఫస్ట్ మై ఫస్ట్ ఇంప్రెషన్ అండ్ హౌ వి యాక్చువల్లీ యునో మెట్ ఇన్ సియాటిల్ ర్యాలీ, రైట్? సో
yes.
Yeah. So I think I don't think I have even told you or Padmalataji like when how I got pulled into this, you know. So in our, I think it was the second rally that we did in Seattle.
Yes, that was
downtown.
The second one. Yes, correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think me and one of my other colleague were pulling into Seattle downtown, and we were trying to find where you guys are located. And I still remember the picture, you and Padmanathaji in a white sari holding the flag of Bharat and the two edges. And
yes,
like
yes.
I was like, I think, yeah, it was probably two Bharatamatas, you know, holding this flag. And I think, you know, we should rush to it. Like that's how we,
yes,
me and
such an honor colleague. To be able to just hold Bharat's flag like that.
So శ్రోతలారా, నేను మొదటిసారి అర్చన గారిని ఇంకొక ఆవిడ కూడా ఉన్నారు మన ఈ సియాటిల్ రెజల్యూషన్ కి పనిచేసిన, అంటే దాన్ని అడ్డుకోవడానికి పనిచేసిన వాళ్ళలో. సో నేను మొదటిసారిగా సియాటిల్ కి వెళ్ళినప్పుడు ఈ ర్యాలీ గురించి తెలుసుకుని వెళ్ళినప్పుడు స్వచ్ఛందంగా అందరం వెళ్ళాము. అలా వెళ్ళినప్పుడు వీళ్ళిద్దరూ భరతమాత లాగా మన భారతదేశం జెండా పట్టుకుని సియాటిల్ డౌన్ టౌన్ లో సిటీ మధ్యలో నుంచుడిని చూసిన క్షణం మాకు అందరికీ చాలా ఆనందం అనిపించింది. మన దేశం స్త్రీలు భరతమాత రూపంలో ఇలా ఇక్కడ కష్టపడుతున్నారు మన దేశం కోసం, మన కోసం, మన దేశం యొక్క పరువు ప్రతిష్టలు నిలబెట్టడం కోసం అనే ఒక్క ఆ స్ఫూర్తి ఈ రోజుకి మరపురాంది. బహుశా నా లైఫ్, నా జీవితం అంతా నేను గుర్తుపెట్టుకుంటాను అది. So that's how we first met Archanaji. So like, you know, when we met, and yeah, and from that time onwards, I know we have been fighting together, like, to do the right thing.
Correct.
Do the right thing, especially for the persecuted minorities. And after that,
yes,
I think
that's our dharma. That's what we need to do, is be a voice for the voiceless.
Absolutely. And that's what took us, somehow it fell in line, right? The Kashmiri Pandits Exodus Day on 19 Jan was actually falling in line with all our efforts to, give them a voice. and how some of the Kashmiris turned down there, and they spoke their lives, how it went, right?
Yes. Cool. And a lot of Kashmiris did come, and they told us things they've never been able to share before. So that's what we're trying to change.
Right. And I think there is still more work to do on that front. I feel people have heard it, but I don't know when it comes to action, how much they are expressing their solidarity openly in social platforms. So that probably still
the
have
work
to
has
come.
Just started. There's a long way to go. Long way to go. Yeah.
It's a 70 plus year delay, so it probably take time.
Got to give it at least another 70 years, right?
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. And even taking that, few of our people have not changed that 70 years.
Right.
And rest of the states have not changed, but so, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. It's a multi-pronged problem. Like most problems, it's not one approach, right? You have to approach it from many angles.
Correct, yes. And coming back to my next question on this, the current topic of CA and NRC, right? So mm-hmm. what are your thoughts and like when you first heard about the law and the protests that have begun in India? And what is your first impression, like why this misinformation and how this misinformation was spread? And are you equally stumbled like most of the learned people themselves, like saying that, am I reading it wrong? Am I missing something? That's what most of the prominent people, even the learned people like Isha Foundation founder also, Sadhguru also expressed his views on that, like, am I missing something? So can you throw some light on that, on your impression, like how did you understand the law and where it all started?
So, when CAA was first passed, I read a lot of Facebook posts and articles, and it seemed very straightforward to me, and it didn't, in my head, I was, in fact, it was the other way around, and I was wondering what all the, chaos and confusion was for. Mm-hmm. It's pretty straightforward because, 1947 during Bharat's partition, into Pakistan and New Bharat, the Muslims wanted their own state, they got their own state, and the mm-hmm. country was divided, and people crossed borders. So from the Bharat side, Muslims went over to Pakistan, and then many people from the Pakistan side crossed over and came to Bharat. But mm-hmm. there were quite a few who didn't make it to Bharat. So there were Hindus, right. Christians, Sikhs, a lot of the non-Muslim minorities who didn't, for whatever reason, were not able to cross the border and come over.
Right.
And at that time, Gandhiji and Nehru and all of them, they told them, they made a promise that, you can come back to Bharat at any time if you feel that your rights as a minority are being violated, and it's India's responsibility to give you citizenship and shelter, a job, and a dignified life, and that's all the CAA is doing. Because right. if you look at it, then I don't know if you're aware of the Nehru-Liaquat Pact that was signed during partition.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So if you look at the pact, basically both countries promised to take care of each other's minorities. And Bharat has done its share because our percentage of Muslims has gone up from 9% to almost 15-16% since then. However, mm-hmm. the percentage of, say, Hindus in Pakistan has right. dwindled from right. almost 20-23% to less than 2-3% right now. So where have all these people gone? Where are all these Hindus and Christians and Sikhs and Parsis? Where have they all gone?
Right.
Raped, converted, murdered, forced conversions, forced marriages, that's what's happening. And
right.
completely persecuted. And a lot of them, some of them somehow managed to escape such conditions and have been living in Bharat as refugees. Can you imagine your own mm-hmm. citizens living in your own country as refugees?
Right. Yeah.
So these are the erstwhile Bharat citizens who have escaped persecution and are in Bharat. And it's 70 years too late, but finally the Bharat government is keeping up its promise from 1947 and giving them what they promised them in 1947. So all this seems so, I'm like, yeah, so that's it. That's basically, what is all the confusion over? And then it occurred to me, and as I was reading more, that this is all about the left making this a Muslim thing. Mm-hmm. that is, this is an anti-Muslim thing. Muslims are not included in this, and blah blah blah. So it was all about Muslim. It was no longer about Christians or Sikhs or Hindus or Parsis. It was all about Muslims suddenly, right?
Right.
And the confusion is because Muslims can. I mean, first of all, a group of so-called Muslim refugees prior to December 2014 is an imaginary group. There are no such people. So why are we even wasting energy on a group of people that don't even exist? So it's all hypothetical.
Right.
And people who have come after December 2014, they're welcome. Anybody is welcome to apply for citizenship
Correct.
In Bharat
Correct.
Through the usual citizenship channels. Again, mm-hmm. it's just chaos over nothing. Either your intentions are bad, or mm-hmm. you absolutely don't understand the law. I mean, I don't know which way. It's this or that, right?
Right, right.
And it's so straightforward that I was actually so baffled about the confusion. It seems like such a straightforward thing. What is the problem here? And then you have
right.
questions about Rohingyas and all that stuff, and they all have nothing to do with the CAA. The CAA is just for the people from 1947 who got left behind, who had mm-hmm. to escape from there because now they're getting persecuted because Pakistan didn't keep up its end of the Liaquat Pact.
Right.
And we are just taking our citizens back and doing it very nicely. It's one
right.
of the most generous human rights laws ever passed in that region. So that was my impression. Was it wasn't so much about, okay, I need to find out what's going on in the law. The law was pretty straightforward. For me, it was more about what is the confusion over? It's so easy, it's so simple. What is the confusion over?
Right, right. Nice. So I think, like, what I'll just add a little bit of, like, background or the story behind that. Like, you know, people have been questioning, like, you know, why would I, honestly, like, my opinion was, I did not even think much about, like, whether there are really Hindus in Pakistan, or my impression was, why would Pakistan have in Hindus or Sikhs or Christians, any other religions, you know, honestly.
That's
my thinking probably 2 or 3 years back, maybe slowly when I started, like, seeing some of the videos that are some of the documentaries that showcase, like, Pakistani Hindus, that I got, even then I did not think about this deep about, like, how, what are the roots and what are the problems
right,
that
right.
they have happened, right?
Correct,
and
yeah.
And one of the press club of Hyderabad had held an important meeting to educate people on, like, what is this law about. And that has uncovered some of the key facts of history. And they put in place a very detailed version of history. Like, so knowing CAA is actually equal to, or you can know CAA completely or NRC completely if you know the history of India completely. So that's
correct.
That's the punchline, right? So, and
right.
the instances, like, I just want to tell the audience also here on the perspectives of those editors and the people from press who had put forth these facts about Magsi Bhagwan, who was actually asked by Jinnah, then Prime Minister of Pakistan, to actually mm-hmm. bring some people. Literally, the words that used were very derogatory. Bring some people from India, from oppressed caste system, like oppressed caste, so that they can mm-hmm. Work as our sanitary in our sanitary department, or
wow.
sweepers or
yeah.
cleaners. So get some people, and I promise that they would be given decent lives, education, school, whatnot. So those are few innocent minorities who actually mm-hmm. left India and went back to Pakistan. And if you see, most of them are underprivileged people. That even the photos that you see that start coming up during in Dawn, or like the recent abduction cases. So those are very people, very poor people in the area of Tharparkar and Umarkot, those districts. So those are being actually, they really don't have any voice. And the irony is, when they face these atrocities, they migrate from one place to another within Pakistan, within the Thar district.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right,
and so that's how it all began. Like, you know, they were taken as low class, you know, kind of second class citizens. And I think I was showing one of the paper that was published by Dawn. That was a job posting for headquarters Pakistan Rangers Sindh, which was actually taking only only non-Muslims in the non-combat workers. Basically, that consists
of even the bootmaker, right? Yes. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's on the history part of it. And then coming back here now, if you see, like, people, even have people talking to me about percentage of numbers are wrong. So I think the idea that you have to look for a percentage to act against the atrocity is wrong, in my opinion, right? I mean, you can't. So if it were my family member, I would not see how many people have been infected, then I'll take a medicine.
No, it's one life too many. Yeah.
So I think that's the approach people have to think about with respect to talking about numbers and lives are being ruined and destroyed. So.
Yes, it's one life too many. Yep.
And so I'll move to the next question. I would like probably in your view to know more about, like, is there anti-India agenda or a leftist agenda towards all this that is happening? Because we are nowhere from Seattle, we are nowhere connected to that law. No one is, forget about Seattle, it is not even impacting India, within anyone within India. So why this much fuzz and why this much hassle and these many protests, even before we started the protests, we started our support to CAA. The only reason was, like, they started protests against CAA here.
Correct.
So yeah, what do you think, explain us in detail on your analysis and your knowledge that you have been talking to so many people. So if you can explain me that, to our audience.
So, just to understand your question correctly, you want me to talk about how this came about in the Seattle area?
Yeah. So according to you, like, what would have been the reason behind
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, so the resolution that was brought forward in Seattle was a later on step. Prior to that, in mid-December, we found out, I was forwarded a flyer on a Friday morning that Saturday there was going to be an anti-CAA rally in downtown Seattle, organized by the Indian American Muslim Council as well. And on the flyer it said Indian Association of Western Washington. And that just blew me away. And I reached out to Atulji, as you know, and I said, we need to do something. And so that's when it all started, on December 20th. And when we got there, you know, within 24 hours, our people came together. We made posters, signs, picked up flags. It was just outstanding the way our people just came together in 24 hours. And we went to the rally and we got our permits to here in the U.S. you need to get your permits, right, to do any kind of a public gathering. So we got all that done within 24 hours, and then we showed up, and I was shocked to see how many people had gathered on their side.
Right.
I would say easily about 400, 500 people, and they had mics and loudspeakers. And I also heard later on that our state representative, Pramila Jayapal, was there speaking for them and against Bharat. Mind you, she's from Tamil Nadu, and she's a Washington state, an elected representative from the state. And she was on their side speaking against Bharat and against CAA. And, you know, and if you look at all the signs they were holding, it was just absolutely false information, you know, that the CAA is, you know, trying to get rid of Muslims in India, that there's a genocide of Muslims happening. The NRC is a genocidal idea, which hasn't even been passed, by the way.
Right.
And, you know, Modi is equal to Hitler. Modi is forcing schools to teach kids about Hitler. It was just appalling, the level of lies and the level of misinformation. You know, but our people came together, we did well. And so that rolled into another CAA support rally we did, which is where you and I met. Right after that, about 2 or 3 days after that, I was forwarded this little video clipping from the Seattle City Council, where one of the Seattle City Council members, Kshama Sawant, who's from Maharashtra, by the way, it was a clipping of her saying that she's going to bring about a resolution on January 21st to against the CAA and NRC and Modi government and, you know, Modi's right-wing fascist government and a bunch of other loaded lies with it. Right. And I looked at it, it was like a 2-minute clipping, and in my head I'm thinking, what a bunch of lies, right? Yeah. And why is she bringing up something related to Bharat here in Seattle? Why does it even concern her? She is elected by her people, and she's using taxpayer time, resources, and money to talk about something that's happening in another country across the ocean. It made no sense to me. But just right. like the two CAA rallies, people just came together. It was just beautiful to see how we all came together. And many of us then showed up at the January 21st hearing for the Seattle City Council. Mm-hmm. And she was shocked. She was shell-shocked. And I think the council was also shell-shocked to see that the Indian community was there against her, and she is of Indian origin. I don't think the council even realized what she was doing. And she's a self-declared socialist, in my opinion, a communist. And she has a personal vendetta against President Trump. And the fact that President Trump and Prime Minister Modi are in good working relationship, that probably bothers her and probably bothers Pramila Jayapal too. And I think all of that has a role to play in this. And when we were there on January 21st, there were 15 of us who were able to make it there. And there were over 100 people from that site.
Wow.
Okay. And she came down the stairs initially to greet her people. She did not expect to see us there, and she did not like it. She tried to yell at us, and we shut her down. She tried to, you know, threaten us. We shut her down. She was telling me, eye to eye, she was telling me that, you know, you'll have your chance to express your opinions. And I said, well, these are not opinions. These are facts that you're not stating. Correct?
Right.
And then she said, stop intimidating me. I said, you know, I'm not intimidating you. If facts intimidate you, that's your problem, not mine. So, you know, things like that. So it really went off like that. And when we went to the council meeting, the council ended up, and that's from where the little speech I gave became viral and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And, but then the council, I guess they realized, like, whoa, what is all this opposition for? We didn't know there was so much opposition. We better back off. We better move this hearing to another date so we have more time to understand what's going on. Because they had only heard her side. Nobody had said anything to them from the other side, from this perspective. And all of these council members, a lot of these council members have staff members of Indian origin who, again, are not educated on what's going on. They have their preconceived biases, and that's what they've been feeding them. So all of these people have been fed misinformation or information from only one side. None of them has even bothered to look at what's going on the other side.
Right.
None of them. And so when we showed up and said, hey, there is another side to this, I think that really caught them by surprise. And so we got them to move it from January 21st to February 3rd. And that was 2 weeks later. And you know what happened on the 3rd again, in those 2 weeks, more people on our side came, more Bharatiyas came together, and we showed up at 5 a.m. And you will not believe the people that came at 5 a.m. to wait outside in 30-degree temperature outside the Seattle City Hall for 2 hours because the doors didn't open till 7, right?
Yep.
And we wanted to get in before they did because the way this works is, to get the speaking turns come, first come, first serve. So whoever signs up in whatever order, that's how you go in to speak.
Right.
And we wanted to make sure that we were the first 50 speakers because we wanted the council to understand our side of it because nobody was telling them our side of it.
Right. And we never got a chance to speak also, right? So I mean, like, we wanted to tell the whole story and then it would need some more people, right?
Yeah, there's so much to tell them that two or three people are not going to cut it. Everybody needs to get a chance, and you only get 2 minutes. It's not like you get a lot of time either. But let me back that up a little. On January 21st, during the first hearing,
Arshana ji, I think Venkat has also joined the call. I think he might have been just off. I think he just joined the call, just to let you know.
Hello, namaste, Venkat ji.
Hi, Arshana ji.
Namaste.
Namaskar. Hi, Anil.
Namaste, Venkat ji.
Myself, Venkat. So it's been great listening to both of you and your conversation about CAA. Want to congratulate Arshana ji and Anil ji, because not many people would go out of our way and represent our India. I think that is more important than anything else.
I agree. I think, sometimes when you get pushed to the edge like this, you're forced to do things that you normally wouldn't do. And I hope that this will make other Bharatiyas around the world feel that, okay, you know what, we can proudly go there and represent ourselves, represent Bharat, and, speak for Dharma, speak for truth, and represent the people that don't have a voice. I think this exercise will hopefully get more people out of their safe homes.
Yes, and I think if you take the numbers also from your conversation, Arshana ji, so the first time, probably 15 was this 400. Just see the trend. The second time, probably we were 30 and maybe a couple of hundred from them. And the last time when we faced off, we were 120, or we were head to head, probably 120 each on each side.
It was almost 200. Our people, we had at least 60. Signed up, and at least another 100 who were in downstairs in the waiting area supporting us, and they had an equal number. Because when we lined up at 5 a.m. and the guard let us in at 7 a.m., the guards have never seen any group of people line up this early in the morning, first of all.
Yes.
Second, when their first person arrived at 8 a.m., I think he was shocked that there were 100 people already there. Right?
Yes.
And we saw him, just really texting and completely stressed out. And then slowly, of course, their truckloads of people started arriving, which was very fun to watch.
And interestingly, they started diverting the topic from CAA into LGBT rights and whatnot. So
that's just everything, literally every single thing they said and did was lies. That's it. Lies.
Venkat, you have some. I think you have some feedback or question. Please chip in.
Yeah.
Venkat, are you there?
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Please go ahead, Venkat.
Hi, Anil. Arshana ji, I just wanted to add a couple of things. As an Indian NRI, right? All of us should actually, once we come out of India, we always think that, okay, US is my country, so we all live here, we all work here. But irrespective of that, all of us have our Indian roots still back there.
Yes.
So it is all the more important that we discuss about Bharatiyata, our Indianness, in cafeterias, in carpools, in get-togethers, pass this message that though we are in America, we are Indians. I think many people forget about it.
Yes. We get caught up in
this program is actually aimed to
make money and educating the kids in America, and we forget all that, right?
Yes. So I just wanted to say thank you to both of you. And I will let continue our discussion.
Oh, thank you. Namaste. Thank you.
Sure. We have placed ourselves in the city council hall. Just to give the audience a little perspective on what happened, I'll just translate quickly.
Please.
Srotulara Okati of Vishwa Ardha News President, December 20 తారీఖు దగ్గర దగ్గర ఆ తారీఖుల్లో మొదలైంది ఈ ప్రయాణం మాది. ఎప్పుడైతే మాకి ఈ సిఏ సంబంధించిన ఒక ప్రొటెస్ట్ జరుగుతోంది సియాటిల్ నగరంలో, సియాటిల్ వాస్తవ్యులు అందరూ చాలా మంది చేస్తున్నారు, ప్రొటెస్ట్ చేస్తున్నారు అనే విషయం అర్థమైందో. అర్చన గారు అప్పటికి నేను పరిచయం కూడా కాలేదు, కానీ అర్చన గారు వాడికి తెలిసిన సన్నిహితులతో కలిసి వెంటనే అప్పటికప్పుడు ఒక కొద్ది రోజుల్లోనే, బహుశా 2 డేస్ ఉన్నట్టుంది నాకు విషయం తెలిసింది కానీ నేను వెళ్ళలేకపోయాను, కానీ 2 రోజుల్లోనే మన సైడ్ నుంచి ఒక దగ్గర 30-40 మంది భారతీయులని పోగేసుకుని అక్కడికి వెళ్లి వాళ్ళు 400 మంది ధర్నా చేస్తున్న ప్లేస్ లో అమెరికాలో ముందుగానే పర్మిషన్లు అన్ని తీసుకోవాలి, అది చాలా ముఖ్యం. కాబట్టి ముందుగానే పర్మిషన్లు అప్లై చేసుకుని వాళ్ళకి ప్రతిగా ఎదురుకుండా నిల్చుకుని ఈ 40 మంది వీళ్ల గొంతు చాటి చెప్పారు. సో అంటే 400 నుంచి 400కి 40 మంది జవాబు చెప్పగలిగారు. కాబట్టి అది అలా స్టార్ట్ మొదలైంది ప్రయాణము. దాని తర్వాత సియాటిల్ ఒక మున్సిపాలిటీ అనుకోండి, సిటీ కౌన్సిల్ అనుకోండి, సిటీ ప్లానింగ్ వాళ్ళు, కౌన్సిల్ వాళ్ళు, వాళ్ళు ఒక నివేదిక ప్రవేశపెట్టి భారతీయ ప్రభుత్వం జారీ చేసిన సిఏఏని ఖండిస్తూ దాన్ని వ్యతిరేకిస్తూ ఒక అఫీషియల్ గా ఒక మెమోరాండం, క్షమించాలి, ఒక అఫీషియల్ గా ఒక స్టేట్మెంట్ పాస్ చేద్దాం అనే ప్రయత్నం చేస్తున్నారన్న విషయం తెలిసింది. దాంతో మొదటిసారి అందరూ వెళ్లి మాట్లాడడం వల్ల వాళ్ళు వెనక్కి తగ్గి ఈ విషయం 4-5 ఒపీనియన్స్ తీసుకుని కానీ మేము ముందుకెళ్లలేము అని చెప్పి ఒక వెనుకం చేశారు. అది మొదటి విజయం మనకి చెప్పుకోవాలి. రెండోసారి వాళ్ళు ఏకగ్రీవంగా వాళ్ళు ఎలా ఎందుకు దానికి ఓటు చేశారనే ప్రక్రియ, రెండోసారి భారతీయులు దాదాపు 120-125 మంది భారతీయులు రావడం జరిగింది. వాళ్ళకి సమానంగా వచ్చి అతి తక్కువ కాలంలో అందరూ అక్కడ సమగ్రంగా చేరుకుని దీన్ని మాట్లాడడానికి వాళ్ళకి అవకాశం కూడా ఇవ్వకుండా అంతమంది మనం మాట్లాడి మన భారతీయ మన సిఏఏ గురించి, గతంలో జరిగిన భారతీయ చరిత్ర గురించి కౌన్సిల్ మెంబర్స్ చెప్పడం జరిగింది. ఇప్పుడు ఆ రోజు ఏం జరిగింది, హాల్లో జరిగిన విషయాలు ఇప్పుడు అర్చన గారు చెప్పబోతున్నారు. అర్చన గారు, ఓవర్ టు యూ. సో లైక్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు టెల్ మోర్ అబౌట్ లైక్ వాట్ హ్యాస్ హ్యాపెండ్ ఇన్ ద సియాటిల్ సిటీ కౌన్సిల్ హాల్ అండ్ యు నో ఫ్యూ key highlights that you could still remember and probably for the rest of your life.
yes. So one of the things that was shocking to me, and I had heard about, you know, al-taqiyya in Islam, right, where as a Muslim you're allowed to pretend or lie in order to protect your faith, correct? And so when we were standing in line, yes, it's one of the tenets of Islam is the feature called al-taqiyya. And when we were standing in line, we noticed that the anti-CAA folks, and unfortunately many of them were, or we thought were Indians and Hindus, they were actually passing out packets of bindis to their people. And and kid you not, they were giving it to women in hijabs who were putting on the bindis just to take pictures and during their public, when they were making their speeches and things like that. I mean, I had heard about al-taqiyya, but I saw it in action, and I was just, I could not believe what I was seeing. In fact, wow. one lady in a hijab put on the bindi, she took a picture and took it off, and I asked her, so now why? Why won't you keep the bindi on? She said, why does it bother you? I said, of course it bothers me. Who else would it bother? why would it not bother me? And so things like that, and that was a very revealing moment for me to see that al-taqiyya is an absolute reality, that it actually happens in your everyday life. We all need to be aware of that. And so that was one of the things. And also in the Seattle Council, as you know, on February 3rd, at least 60 of us signed up to speak. The first 50 speakers was us because we were there bright and early.
Yes.
And while we were speaking, the president of the council, she tried to sneak in speakers from the other side, even though they had not signed up.
Correct.
And so the first speaker came and he did it, and we were like, okay, he was not in line. And by the time she did that, the second time our people stood up, they objected, they made the council stop the meeting. The council had to go take a 5-minute recess, come back, and the president gave some random excuse about wanting to hear from all possible groups. Well, they didn't give us that opportunity on the 21st, so why now? But anyhow, we made sure that, you know, she came back and she resumed the old order of the list, which is all our speakers. So essentially on February 3rd, none of their speakers got a turn to speak because we didn't allow for that, because it's not right. We were there. We had signed up. If it's first come, first serve, we get first come, first serve. And so, you know, we saw all these kinds of antics happening there, which were so clear. The council was so clearly biased. We even took a large screen TV, you know, I mean, of course, speaker after speaker, we shared the history, we shared data, we shared facts. None of that mattered. I mean, you could tell from their body language that they had already made up their mind. None of this, it didn't matter to them that 12-year-old girls and 9-year-old girls were being raped and murdered and killed and forcefully. None of this mattered to them. It just didn't matter to them that Christian, the only Christian minister of Pakistan was murdered in broad daylight. That just did not matter to them. We had a big TV sitting in front of them, and we were running a PowerPoint of all these victims. None of this mattered to them because they had just decided to go with Kshama and her resolution, because they probably had pressure from Pramila Jayapal too, because they added an amendment to the resolution asking to send this after Seattle, send it to the federal government, to the other Congress. So there was also, obviously they were under pressure from Pramila Jayapal too for this. And but I just want to tell everybody that it wasn't unanimous like all these news reports try to make it, right? Because the council has 9 sitting members. Of the 9 sitting members, 3 of the members were absent. They were absent. And a 4th member, he was in the meeting the entire time, but when the council had to vote, he stepped out of the room. So essentially, of the 9 council members, only 5 actually even voted. Granted, all 5 voted to support Kshama's resolution. I get that. But it was not unanimous, because there's a reason why those 4 people didn't want to go on record as having voted. There's a reason. And clearly the reason, in my opinion, is that they didn't support her resolution, but they didn't want to be seen going on record as opposing her, so they just stayed away from
it. Interesting. Okay.
So as much as you might read this, all these public releases about press releases about it being unanimous, by no means was it unanimous. 3 didn't even come. 1 stepped out of the room. So really, only 5 of them voted for it.
Right.
And anyhow, my point being that in spite of all our effort, thousands of emails, thousands of phone calls by our people, showing up at 5 a.m., 50, 60 people sharing. We even had Bangladeshi Hindus come and share their personal stories.
Yeah.
None of it mattered at the end of the day, because they were hypocrites. They did not want to see the side of the persecuted minorities. They only wanted to see it one-sided, and they went ahead and passed the resolution anyway.
Yeah, and not to forget, like, there are probably 30 to 40 senior citizens, I believe, in our group, who have
retired doctors, retired lawyers, 70-year-olds, 65-year-olds who came and stood in the line at 5 a.m. because they wanted to fix this narrative that she was building this negative narrative about Bharat and Modi ji. And we got called a lot of names. Even 2 days ago on Twitter, I got called a terrorist, and I figured, like, okay, a rite of passage, I guess, to be called a terrorist. So whatever, right? So it's just this has been my first-hand experience with face-to-face with dirty politics, and I feel like I've already learned a lot.
Obviously, I know.
Yeah.
And probably, like, so you have been called terrorist also, but you might you have been called as a great Bharatiya Vanita, Bharatiya Nari by Tejasvi Surya also, who actually posted your video that went viral, right? How did you feel about it?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
At first, when somebody sent it to me, I had just woken up and my phone just fell off my hand. I'm like, what? But, Tejasvi is someone even I have looked up to, right? Such a young guy, so dynamic, so patriotic, very intelligent, makes very snarky comments. And to have caught his attention was definitely, a moment of, wow, okay, this did reach Bharat. Because, on the one hand, yes, none of this impacts Bharat in any way, because whatever stupid law the Seattle passed, resolution is not going to change the laws in Bharat. I mean, law is a law, right? What it is going to do is divide the community here. And her being, with her communist attitude and her communist way of doing things as a socialist communist, people are already getting divided over this, and there was no reason. So is she going to go and how about we pass a resolution condemning the Sharia law in Saudi Arabia or the way the Muslims are being treated in China? How about we do that? Let's see how far that'll take her, right? Let's see how far that takes her. They don't have guts to do stuff like that. They'll only pull up this kind of stuff because Bharatiyas will not speak up. And I hope our Bharatiyas are learning a lesson from this, that the more you sit in your comfortable air-conditioned homes watching your movie and eating your whatever pizza, and the more you allow for crap like this, sorry, excuse my language, for stuff like this to be allowed, you know, your children, our children are the ones that are going to suffer. And then it's our responsibility as Bharatiyas to protect the name of Bharat wherever we go. We represent Bharat. So if we don't stand up when this is this kind of stuff, is, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you get married and you adopt a new home.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you trash your parents' home, right?
Well said. It's, yeah, absolutely.
That's literally like that. Just because you've come to America from Maharashtra, you know, and which country or which home is perfect? Every home has internal problems, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you come to your new in-laws or a new adopted home and start trashing your parents' home. That's exactly what she's doing.
Yep. Sure. Mixed, sorry, I got all carried away there.
No, that just boils my blood so much.
that's fine. I mean, like, probably I think the point which you bring is the same one that Venkat was just mentioning. Like, when you go into carpools, when you go into places, public places, when you meet people, Americans, Asians, anyone.
Yes.
I don't know why. I would like to discuss more on culture. Probably a day back, someone was asking, like, there is something whitish powder on your face, on your forehead. So I said, mm-hmm. I told them, this the vibhuti. So this, you know, this is what we apply for prayers. And oh, they said, like, they were curious, and they were curious to know. And we are the ambassadors of unofficial, but ambassadors of India and our culture. So I think people have to talk more publicly and make it aware. That's what even the greats and the sages and the modern rishis have told, like, be ambassadors of India. Like,
Yes. And not just in the way we look, right? It has to show in our, in the way we solve problems, in the way we approach a problem, you know, are we doing things that's good for humanity? Are we doing things that are dharmic? Are we doing things that have deep thought behind them? Are we being kind, compassionate? These are all basic tenets of being a Sanatana Dharma, Sanatani, right? So these are the kinds of values we should really be, and you don't have to call it those names. You can just practice it, you know, teach it to the kids. And and that's kind of when, I don't know if you know about the summer camp that I do in the summer with kids, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like, so we go along these lines, and I try to tell the kids, you know, 40 kids every year come to this camp. And mm-hmm. our goal is to teach them things about, you know, Bharat and their itihasa that they will never hear about in their school.
Awesome.
And, you know, their parents are probably too busy to tell them about this stuff. So, you know, so anyway, you're right. If we need to discuss and be more Bharatiya out in the open, nothing to hide, nothing whatsoever to be ashamed of. I mean, tell me one one philosophy or religion, if you want to call it, that is more liberal than Hinduism. Tell me, just name me one.
I think it's
there is none.
It's none.
There is so much to be proud of. I don't know why we feel the need to hide it. I just don't know.
Cool. And I think on the closing note, you brought a very good point about kids. So I would like to know your views on these kind of resolutions, and especially the NRIs, and also within for the people back home in India. How do we, should we be discussing this with kids? And what are the challenges? Have you faced any, or have you heard any stories of challenges with young kids, especially, you know, who might turn their back towards all this, you know, against India, maybe. So I don't want that to happen. So how do you take precautions to that?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think the trick is to have a very pragmatic, realistic approach to discussing it with kids. You know, mm-hmm. kids, especially teenagers. You know, I have two teenage kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if what you're saying makes sense to them, is logical, then they get it. They don't care for the emotions behind it, because they, you know, they're born here. This is their Janmabhumi, and, you know, from the way I look at it, is Bharat is my Janmabhumi, America is my Karma Bhumi. For them, this is their Janmabhumi. They don't have that emotional connection that you and I have, right, with Bharat.
Right.
But being teenagers, if it makes sense to them, if it sounds logical, they're in. And that's how my kids are. They're like, what is all this fuss about? It's just basic common sense, right? Mm-hmm. But then I do know of other parents who have unfortunately lost this debate with their kids or this battle with their kids. And I do know that that's, you know, that happens too, but it's the media, right? They're consumed by one-sided biased media with a lot of false information. In general, with Bharat making huge progress since Modiji came into government, mm-hmm. You know, there's generally this quite a bit of anti-India, anti-Hindu stuff in the New York Times, Washington Post, all of these places, that all the places that these kids go to.
The Breaking India forces that Rajiv Malhotra.
The Breaking India forces, exactly. So I think the approach is to be pragmatic, not put emotion into it, present the facts as they are, and debate it or discuss it with them factually. And I really think that that's all they need. They don't need an emotional reason to support it or not. They're just looking for, okay, what exactly happened here?
Correct. Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Sure. I think whatever has happened, I think it really had ignited that spark in all of us, bringing many people and the emotions together. Like at least in the city council hall, I could recollect memories of people trying to put their words, you know, and thoughts into one place. And even I was sitting with elders, and they were trying to, hey, see, like, is this the way? Is that does it sound right to you? You know, we all put together and a lot of spirit and a lot of nationalism coming to picture. Very proud of that.
Absolutely. And I mean, of the 200 people that we had there, Anilji, more than half of them have never involved themselves in politics. They've never involved themselves in politics. And this actually brought them out of their, you know, apolitical. They were like, what is going on? This is absolutely wrong. And this made them step out. And I feel that all Bharatiyas should be that way. You shouldn't just sit back and watch the fun when your country is being trashed like this, right? I mean, when your homeland is being trashed like this. We should all feel a sense of dharmic responsibility to stand up. I mean, no country is perfect. I get it. We have our share of problems. America has its share of problems. But that doesn't mean we trash our country.
Right.
And, you know, as an American citizen, I would never trash America. I mean, America has its share of problems, but I wouldn't go to another country and start trashing America. Similarly, it's wrong of Bharatiyas to come to Bharat. I mean, to come to America and start trashing Bharat. It's just deplorable.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, that's the way to look things at. But I really thank you for sparing your time and sharing all those efforts and the pain behind what we have put to gather 200 Indians just in Seattle and, you know, fight for the right cause for the minorities and for humanity, especially and human rights.
For humanity. And it's dharma. We all, you know, there's no need to thank me or anybody. This is our dharma. Everybody should be doing this. Hopefully more people will be fired up to do this going forward.
Yes, and before I close out, and probably we would reconvene. I would not be surprised if we would reconvene when Modiji tweets about you or Modiji posts posts about you next time. So the list is long.
I don't know what.
But before I close out, I should mention to our audience on about Sunilji also. Sunilji, your husband. I know he's an active Vedic learner. That's what I know him as. I tell people that one is doing Dharma Parirakshana and the other is doing Dharma Poshana. Sanatana Dharma Poshana. So that is it's a very rare combination, let me tell you. But thanks to him as well for all the encouragement that he puts. It's totally amazing.
You know, I'm glad we both do two different things that complement each other, because otherwise, imagine both of us stuck having to deal with each other at home, right? So this is good. This is a very good arrangement for us too.
Absolutely, and for a bigger reason for India. So.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. You know, one of the things as a closing thing, the small changes that we can make in our lives, right? So when Bharatiyas call me ma'am, I stop them right away and I say, please just use my name or call me Bhagini or call me Mahodaya. But you know, this ma'am thing, why should Bharatiyas call me ma'am? I mean, I understand if somebody else does. You know? So we can make small changes like that and try to bring back our old ways of doing things.
Coming out of shell, yeah.
Sure. Awesome. So, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate that.
అబ్సల్యూట్లీ అవర్ ప్రెజర్ అండ్ సుధర్లారా ఇది ఈరోజు భారతీయత మన బాధ్యత షోలో మన స్పెషల్ గెస్ట్ అర్చన సునీల్ అయ్యర్ గారు సియాటిల్ కౌన్సిల్ రిజర్వేషన్ మేము ఏ విధంగా మొత్తం దగ్గర దగ్గర 200 భారతీయులు కలిసి దాన్ని పోరాడి ప్రయత్నం చేశామో ఎటువంటి వాళ్ళ ఎజెండా ఉన్నప్పటికీ మన భారతీయతను చాటుకోవడానికి మన ఉనికిని చాటడానికి ఇది ఒక అవకాశంగా మాకు మారింది. వెంకట్ గారు మీరు కాల్లో ఉన్నట్లయితే థ్యాంక్ యూ ఫర్ యునో దిస్ ఆపర్చునిటీ. అందరం ఈ విషయాలు నలుగురితో పంచుకుని మరింత మందిని మేము ప్రోత్సహించేలాగా వాళ్ళని జాగృతి చేసేలాగా ముఖ్యంగా ఎన్ఆర్ఐల్ని ఇండియాలో ఉన్న వాళ్ళని ఇద్దరిని మాకు ఇది తోడ్పడుతుంది ఈ షో. థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ అందరికీ ధన్యవాదాలు. ధన్యవాద్ అర్చనాజీ ఆప్కో బి.
Oh, you're welcome. Likewise, and I'm very inspired by the work your organization is doing. So nice job, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you. And Vande Mataram and Bharat Mata Ki Jai.
Bharat Mata Ki Jai. Namaste.
Disclaimer. The views, comments and conclusions in the following program, either expressed or implied, are those of the hosts and not necessarily the beliefs of MyIndMedia. All the material presented by the hosts is warranted by the hosts that the work is their original contribution or they have obtained proper permissions from the original contributors and it is free from any copyright infringements. At certain times, the hosts may express their views, which may be slightly or extremely biased and hence listeners' discretion is advised.